760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Quest. I am Allison DeLule and so happy to have Josh Harris with me here.
Reporting for duty.
Oh, we're so grateful you're reporting for duty. And also Dave Savage.
Howdy.
I love these two. We are so grateful to be here with everybody and excited about a new day. So
This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I say that a lot, but I don't think it can be said enough.
Amen to
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. We take it for granted a lot of times.
We do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And speaking of what we take for granted and don't take for granted, you know what? We take the freedom of prayer for granted sometimes. So I think we should open up with a prayer.
Perfect.
Please do.
Oh, I'm supposed to do it.
You are.
Plot twist. Here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, through the intercession of St. Ignatius of Antioch, who proclaimed the Eucharist as the medicine of immortality, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude. May the bread of life, your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we receive in the Holy Eucharist, heal us from all that separates us from you. Let this divine medicine strengthen our soul, nourish our faith, and renew our spirits. Grant us the grace to walk in your light, like St. Ignatius of Antioch, and may we find the body and blood of Christ, the strength to face all of our trials, knowing that through him we are united to your eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's a good prayer, and I'm really excited to dive more into St. Ignatius with our dear friend Chuck Persner, because this guy was heroic.
Who, Chuck or the saint?
I'm only talking about Chuck. Chuck Persner, the only living human being to be canonized. I can't say that without having to go to confession immediately after.
And you always make me laugh when you say that.
But we got a great show today. We've got Chuck Persner unpacking the saint of the day, which is St. Ignatius. With, by the way, if you want proof the early church was Catholic, listen to this segment.
Absolutely.
I wonder if we should jump back and just mention the fact that we're not here right now.
Oh, we're not?
No.
Where am I?
We're in Birmingham.
We are?
We are, yes. So this is pre-recorded, so we're not going to have our normal traffic and weather and all that stuff that we ordinarily have.
I think we should do it and just guess.
I don't know about that, Josh.
I'm going to say there's some snarled traffic on the connector downtown. How about that?
There you go.
Every day, that's the case, right?
Right. Absolutely. The top-end perimeter, there's some problems there, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think for weather, maybe the sun is out. I mean, it might be hidden by clouds, but it's out.
Correct. That's it.
When you're above the clouds in an airplane, it's always beautiful.
Well, the reason we're in Birmingham is because there's a EWTN radio conference going on there. All the Catholic radio stations from across the country send a representative, and we're going to learn a lot about Catholic radio. So it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be a great time.
We're also going to the shrine there.
Oh, yes.
As well. That's just north. I forget what town that's in. But
Hansville.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
And EWTN Studios, we're going to be at the Father Mitch Paquas show tomorrow night.
Marvelous.
We're going to be in the audience.
Really?
Marvelous.
Yes, we are.
You think he'll let me host the show?
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Just ask him.
Thank you. Be my big wish. Well, that's going to be amazing. And by the way, if you want proof prayer works and God moves, EWTN, founded by a nun with no media experience, and now is the largest religious outlet in the world, media outlet.
Well, and if you want to compare, I mean, it's not quite to the same scale, but Carol here started the quest, although she'll argue that the Holy Spirit did it and just kind of used her. But
she followed the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
She knew nothing about radio, about Catholic, but all of a sudden, all these people were put in her path to help her get this station on the air, to get us a 50,000-watt signal, to all these people and all these great volunteers that make this thing run. It's just amazing. It is.
We're super blessed to have the quest.
And I'm really glad she actually told me today that the Quest is the greatest radio station to ever exist.
I'm sure she said,
sounds like something she would say, yes.
I have her on the record. Actually, if she hears that, I might not be sitting in this chair tomorrow because that she didn't definitely didn't say that.
No. She would never say that.
Yeah, she is a very humble person.
Even though it is true, she wouldn't say it.
Well, it's awesome to see how God uses people who just show up and say yes.
Mm-hmm. So Absolutely.
So we got some interesting stuff coming up here, don't we, today?
We sure do. Father Rivak is going to be diving into the Word with us today. Again, Josh had said, Chuck Persner is going to be here talking about St. Ignatius of Antioch. We will be talking with Brenda Stoll. She will be informing us about the Gwinnett County school plan to change its sex education program. So if you live in Gwinnett County or know someone that does, make sure to listen to that conversation.
Whether you got kids in school there or not, this is important.
It's pretty major, guys, and it's... Yeah, we just have to pray. I'll leave it there.
Mm-hmm. And it would be happening this month. So absolutely listen in. And I mean, I'm in Cherokee County, but you never know. If something changes there, you never know how other counties might move forward.
Right.
And also coming up, Tim Shevlin, he is going to be talking about the importance of strength training for women as we age. So another important topic.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are so happy to have Tim Shevlin back. He is the founder of FitCatholics.com. Welcome back, Tim.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, Tim, you know, I hear a lot about osteoporosis, but could you tell us what osteoporosis is first?
Yes. Osteoporosis is the decrease of the bone density generally happening as we age. Our body's a tool of survival, and it responds to different stressors in different ways. By putting extra weight, meaning in this case weight training, putting extra weight on the bones respond by becoming stronger, by increasing the density. And that only can happen if we give it that good stress.
That's so interesting. And, you know, and I swim. I do laps for working out. And I know while I swim, I can tell that muscle is forming. But I was told, you know, that's not enough strength training. So is that the case?
Absolutely. So especially in the water, swimming is great for flexibility, for warming up joints, for increasing muscle mass. But I don't know if you're into sci-fi at all, but if you watch someone that's grown up in a low gravity environment, their bones are extremely weak and fragile. And the same thing, I mean, now you really have to live in the water for that to happen here, but when you go in the water and you swim, even when you swim hard, you're actually decreasing gravity's pull on you. So your bones get nothing out of it.
That's interesting to know. And it's funny, at the gym that I work out at, I saw there was a strength training class and I went to it and woo, it was tricky. But I know that it takes time and practice, right? If you're not doing it on a regular basis, you start small and you gradually work your way up.
Yeah, and I think that's
exactly right.
And you would know then. So there's obviously then this importance and synthesis between cardiovascular exercise and strength training. What do you think the balance between those two should be?
I really think it should be probably about 50-50. I mean, our heart is very important. We need to make sure we keep that strong cardiovascular-wise. We need to make sure we work on that. As far as bone density and muscle, that's all important, but you don't need as much time on the weight training aspect as you do on the cardiovascular aspect.
Wow.
That's really good information.
Your heart is beating all the time. So it's used to going a little bit harder, a little bit longer. And it runs everything. It pumps blood to every inch of our body. Our muscles all the rest of our muscles aren't designed to do that. They're not designed to work 100% of the time. So it's a different type of muscle structure. And for that, we need less length and more intensity as far as, you know, either weights or speed, different things like that.
So let's say you have a client coming to you to obviously increase their Physical well-being, right? Where do you start? Do you do, I guess, a body fat calculation or any of these? I mean, where are you, what are you looking at as a trainer and then also in dialogue with them to help, you know, really assess practical and, you know, advantageous goals during your time together?
So in the beginning, and I think this is sets me apart from most people, I have a very detailed intake form, and I look at the whole picture. I look at how your home life is, how your spiritual life, if you've got supportive partners, if you've got, you know, a difficult job, all that kind of, and in addition to, you know, your overall exercise, what you can and can't do, you know, any health risks, things like that. So you really want to look at the whole picture and take a look at everything. And then from there, you know, everyone's very different, so I kind of designed something that would work for them.
I love that. I really do, because each one of us is a individual created by God. We're all in different places. We all have different, you know, health, you know, our health is different in many ways. Some people might have illnesses or diseases or on medication. So knowing the whole picture probably helps a lot in regards to what can be done, and whether it's working out, whether it's eating, whether it's anything related to health.
And what's realistic too, I'm sure. Obviously, right. Someone coming in who is 18 and has the whole summer to get off versus a mother of four, you know, in their early 50s, there's going to just be a difference in terms of probably goals and what is realistic, you know, in combination with where they are in life and their schedules.
Right. The biggest thing that I try to do is I try to help someone create a lifestyle out of this, you know, and that's where knowing the whole picture really helps. If you've got two of the exact same people and one has a very supportive spouse and the other does not, their program is going to have to look totally different, because it just won't work. The same program won't work for both people.
Mm. And how along those programs, you know, I've heard about muscle confusion, things like that, you know, your body getting used to certain workouts. How often are you mixing up those workouts within, you know, the curriculum you are giving your clients?
So really, I'm not a big fan of having to confuse the muscles and mix stuff up. I think our muscles respond to the amount of intensity we give them. Yeah. And that's why people have to mix it up, because they can't increase the intensity. But really, it depends on the individual. Again, you know, some people need stuff changed every week. Other people can do the same thing every day for a year, and they're still good with it. So it really depends on the person and how quickly they're progressing. Of course, you're not going to do the same thing on day one as you're going to do on year three. So depending on where you're progressing and how you're doing there, you know, that makes a big difference too.
So Tim, for us out here that are listening to you, you know, we might not live near you where you possibly could work with us. What kind of information would you share with somebody that will not be able to meet up with you personally, but desires to have, you know, more strength training, some women that want to do more strength training? What would be a good step for them, you know, remotely, wherever they are, to get them started?
Anyone can send me an email, text, call me, and I will send them my intake form. And they fill all that out. And then when I get that back, then I'll break it down and kind of give them, this is what I think you should do. And at that point, I give them, you know, different options. If you want to work with me one-on-one, here you go. If you want to do an online thing, here you go. If you want to do it all on your own, this is what I recommend you do.
Okay. That's wonderful, giving them a game plan. And I love that how you were saying a lifestyle, because realistically, whatever we come up with, it needs to be a lifestyle. We need to do it daily, or we're going to get overwhelmed and quit. And who wants to do that? Ultimately, we're here for the long haul.
Absolutely. And the whole reason I like work, I love working out. And the whole reason is because I feel really good when I do it. And the rest of my life is better because of it. If you spend 3 hours a week in the gym, but then the rest of your life is better because you're in better shape, you feel better, you look better, all that stuff, it's, you know, you're going to be positive about going to the gym.
Amen. And the endorphins, right? The endorphins that come about through working out that just gives you a boost if somebody is stressed or has anxiety. I mean, what a great way to help combat that and include, you
absolutely.
Know, concluding prayer as well, but working out and taking care of our bodies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, Tim, we are so blessed again to have you here. What great information you have to share with us. And we look forward to talking to you about more of those important topics that we are encountering in our lives today. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day today.
Thank you for having me.
Tim Shevlin, the founder of FitCatholics.com.
Oh, man, we should have cigars with this.
Well, who did that come from? I'll tell you, the manliest priest in America, Father Michael Rivack, and we have the treat of having him on our show once again, unpacking the scriptures with me and Allison DeLule, my amazing co-host. Father, we are excited because you always bring something special to us and the Quest family. What are we unpacking today?
Josh, thanks for having me back. I'm waiting one of these days. There's going to be the, no, Father, you can't come anymore. You guys, I wish everybody could be privy to the awesome conversations we have off air, but we'll just stick to the conversation here that we're going to have on air about Luke chapter 11. The Lord said, "Woe to you who build the memorials of the prophets whom your fathers killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them and you do the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute in order that the generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I say to you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you, scholars of the law. You have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you stopped those trying to enter. When Jesus left, the scribes and the Pharisees began to act with hostility towards him and to interrogate him about many things, for they were plotting to catch him at something he might say." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So this is a bit of an enigmatic gospel. It's very eschatological, and it's like sort of like focused towards the end times. You have to understand it in terms of the messianic mission of Jesus, who Jesus is, and where everything's going. Otherwise, what you end up with is this sort of unintelligent understanding that's sort of Old Testament God, which is always relatively misunderstood anyways, but children will be responsible for the sins of their fathers for the third and fourth and fifth generation, et cetera, et cetera. And this is not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not moralizing. He's not talking about, you know, if your dad does something bad, you're going to get punished. He is saying that you are going to be held responsible for the sins of your fathers, but not because your fathers did the thing, but because you're about to do the same thing that they did, right? It ends here with the scribes and Pharisees began to act with hostility towards him, and they were plotting to catch in something he might say. Now, the Pharisees had been up to this point standing all, scribes and Pharisees had been standing all erect and high and mighty and looking down their nose at people and saying, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, "Oh, well, we would never have killed Zechariah between the altar and the porch. Shame on our fathers for doing that." And so in testimony of this, we'll build this great mausoleum. And Jesus is saying, you're missing the point, because while you're seeing the past and you think you wouldn't do it, you're not learning from the past, because you're about to do the same thing that they just did in a worse way, because I am not only a prophet, I am the fulfillment of all prophets. And while you say you would never have killed Zechariah, you're getting ready to kill Jesus Christ.
You know, you're really touching a nerve with me, Father, especially coming from a family that's half Jewish. It's easy, especially for me growing up before I guess I had a better formed conscience through Catholic Church teaching after my conversion. It's easy to step back and go, well, you know, they elected Hitler. How did that happen? But thank goodness we are past that. And then you step back and you go, wait a minute. There were a million abortions done in the United States plus in 2023. I think 73 million worldwide estimated.
It's a number that's just so staggering. I was telling Allison before when we were talking about the pro-life movement and abortions and things. I was like, my brain, like I'm objectively on board. I preach against the evils of abortion and I preach the virtue of choosing life even under difficult circumstances. But I don't have that visceral reaction to it, because I just don't think I can. I would just become catatonic if my mind would actually allow me to perceive the scope of that horror.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I think, where Jesus is sort of putting the context on what the scribes and Pharisees are doing. They're like, oh, well, our fathers killed Zechariah. We wouldn't do that. and like, who's Zechariah? Like, who's Zechariah compared to Jesus? And they're like, well, we would never kill Zechariah, but Jesus will kill you. And it's like, oh, shame on Hitler and the Nazis for, you know, killing 6 million Jews and Mao and who were some of those other jerks? Stalin and Mussolini, yeah. Right? Killing, you know, for the first time in the history of the world, right? We're getting up into the millions. I mean, maybe Genghis Khan came close to that, but he still had to shoot people with arrows, right?
Yeah.
We're getting into the millions. And we're like, what a horrifying thing. We would never let that happen again. Let's build a monument to it so that we don't forget the Holocaust, right? And what do we do? Like, you know, all these Holocaust deniers, they get like canceled and stuff. And rightly so, because it's a terrible thing. And yet, like the scribes and the Pharisees, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to kill Jesus. We're going to kill all these babies that so greatly outnumber the evil or so greatly outqualify the evil that was done by the Nazis. Because not only like in Germany, it was Hitler and his ilk, the SS and whoever else killing these Germans. Here, it's moms killing their babies. It's not Hitler, right? Mm. It's not some tyrant who's trying to gain German national pride and find a scapegoat. It's a mom, you know, or it's a dad who's pressuring mom, or it's a mom and a dad pressuring their daughter because they so grossly misunderstand the priority of goods in their life that, yeah, okay, so there's shame to this. Okay, but pride is not the most important thing. The life of your daughter and your grandchild, those are the most important things now.
Mm. And to your point, I mean, the thing that is really sad, obviously there's different levels of culpability, right? If a 15-year-old girl is being pressured by her parents or
100%.
It was abused and some guy's pushing her into the clinic, you know, we'd say there's different scopes of understanding on that. But either way, the psychological impact is devastating. So if you have an abortion, you are 6 times more likely to commit suicide statistically. And if you're a teenager, 10 times more likely. Mm. So it's no one gets off scot-free in this thing, right?
No,
it is leaving a deep, deep emotional wound, not to mention that there is a completely innocent life that is
there is healing for anybody who's received an abortion so that you don't have to become a statistic. Like nobody has to become a statistic. Unless we're talking about, you know, congenital heart failure or something and you've chosen not to smoke in your life, you know, you really always have a choice not to become a statistic. And the reason there's healing for those who've committed an abortion is because I'm not a whole big thing about everybody having their victim class status tattooed on their shirt, right? I don't go in for that. I think people should take personal responsibility. But every single person who's procured an abortion is a victim. They are hurt. The damage is not simply what they have done or allowed to be done, but there has been true damage done to them, and even before they have chosen to get an abortion. So, and not some pouty victim class here. We're talking about real serious hurt. And if you've had an abortion, even if you're in the stage of trying to double down and convince yourself that you're not hurt because you had an abortion and you don't, like, it's easier for you to be pro-choice than to admit that I'm gravely wounded inside, know that there's healing for you and that you can only find that in Jesus. He alone forgives sins and through the ministry of the church.
Amen. And there is a group, you know, PATH.
Yes, PATH. Post-abortion
treatment and healing?
Yes. They have different seminars that people can go to for that. And when I spoke with the head of it, she said parents come, you know, just different family members or friends that actually had some type of involvement with it come. Because like you said, Father, everybody needs a healing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, what a beautiful message to end on. We all need healing. If you or anyone you know has had to go through that, check out PATH, a beautiful ministry helping in healing post-abortive women and men as well who have gone through that heartbreak. With that, thank you so much, Father, for blessing us once again. And Allison,
always happy to be here.
Amen. And we will see you next time.
Well, look who's in the studio. Our dear friend Chuck Persner. Just a brilliant man who wanted to sprinkle some saint brilliance. Did I say that?
Sprinkle.
He's got saint sprinkles for us today. That's right. What he's doing. Who is our saint of the day?
All right, sprinkling along here. We do have a great one today. We're going to go way back. That was quite an introduction, by the way, I have to say. You put a lot of thought into these, I can tell.
I really should write something out. It just comes out like total nonsense. But, Chuck, you steady the ship, so it's okay.
If I'm the steadying influence, we're in trouble. But I will do my best.
to sprinkle some steadiness in here. And that's the word of the day, sprinkles, I guess. Yeah.
Sprinkles.
So we'll go deep into the archives. As I said, today we're going to go to St. Ignatius of Antioch. Mm. And his feast day is today. And yeah, he's a guy who's recognized as one of the five apostolic fathers, the third bishop of Antioch, which is now modern day Turkey. Mm-hmm. He was a bishop and a martyr. Born in the year 35.
Wow.
So we're going way back.
And guess who his sensei was?
I don't know.
The Apostle John.
Oh, okay. See, I could have answered that question if I knew what the word sensei meant. I didn't know what that meant. So.
I'm sorry. I don't think that's, that's not apostolic language. But he was the disciple of the Apostle John.
Wow.
That's correct. Yeah. That is correct. We got to keep the language simple. The biggest word I know is spaghetti. So, I mean, just so you know.
You need to break it down for us.
Yeah, he was. He was, imagine that, a disciple of St. John.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, who we've talked about in prior segments, just a great saint, one of our favorites.
In Antioch, which was this city of central importance back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And in fact, I think the word Christian came out of Antioch. I think it was the first time that word was ever used.
That I didn't know.
In the past, yeah. But, you know, St. Paul always tells us, I am not ashamed of the gospel. You know, in his letters, and, you know, again, the same could be said for St. Ignatius. He echoed those sentiments in word and deed. He was ultimately arrested by Roman soldiers as a result of his Christian teachings and practices and his faith as exhibited. And, you know, he was taken to Rome, where he would be fed to the lions at the Colosseum. And on the way to his martyrdom, he was writing letters to his faithful companions across the different towns that he visited. And I think you have a quote from one of these letters, Allison.
He's
literally on the way to be fed to the lions, and he comes up with this.
I do, yes. Saint Ignatius of Antioch said, "Let me be food for the wild beasts, for they are my way to God. I am God's wheat and shall be ground by their teeth so that I may become Christ's pure bread. Pray to Christ for me that the animals will be the means of making me a sacrificial victim of God." I mean, he pretty much realizes what's about to happen, and he is absolutely okay and ready for it. Lord, mm-hmm. give me that type of faith, no matter what's happening in life, to be able to say, I'm here, I'm ready whenever you are.
But notice the Eucharistic imagery that's being used as well.
True. Yes.
That's a good point.
Very Eucharistic. And that's actually a prime time reference that people go to when referencing what did the early church believe. Mm. He really affirmed the Eucharist as the true body and blood of Christ. He even called it the medicine of immortality. In one of his letters, he stated, "They abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer because they do not confess that the Eucharist is the flesh of our Savior, Jesus Christ, which suffered for our sins and which the Father in his goodness raised up again."
Wow.
Speaks to the power of this sacrament, which we really need to partake of it as often as we can, certainly every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, I know for the folks who are able to attend daily Mass, you're feeding on divine flesh. How can you not be made stronger? How can you not be transformed?
For the journey. I mean, food for the journey.
Yep, sure is. St. Ignatius often quoted Galatians chapter 2, 19-20, you know, wherein St. Paul himself says in part, "I am crucified with Christ, yet I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me."
Wow.
And, you know, he was a man who had a direct tie to Christ by virtue of his friendship and tutelage with John the Apostle. So we go way back, and it's just great that we have this apostolic succession, you know, that we're able to go back and have this unbreakable bond.
Yes.
You know, with a true giant of the church.
The other thing we get a lot of people referencing back to St. Ignatius of Antioch to sort of validate church teachings. What did early Christians think? He also really accentuated fidelity to clergy as well as the bishop. In his letters, he emphasized the roles of clergy, deacon, priests, and bishops and the importance of the obedience, especially to the bishop, famously stating, "Wherever the bishop appears, there let the people be, as wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church."
Wow.
Yeah, we rely so much on our bishops. We've got to pray for them. We've got to remember to pray for them.
Yes, they're human as well, so we need to pray for them.
Not mine. He levitates.
Robo bishop.
Oh my goodness.
I wasn't expecting that, but robo bishop.
Coming to a church near you.
Yeah, my bishop is AI.
Well, you know what, Chuck, you were saying earlier that Christianity, you know, wasn't necessarily popular at those times.
No.
And another great quote, "The greatness of Christianity lies in being hated by the world, not in being convincing to it." So again, you know, we see a lot of persecution, you know, in the church. and of Christians. So again, what do they say? Nothing new under the sun, or I mean,
Ecclesiastes, yes.
Get there,
Ecclesiastes 1:9. You happen to mention the only gospel passage I have memorized. What a lucky break that was. This is my lucky
Josh,
day.
Josh, come on. Come on. You're just nodding your head.
But that's a direct quote from Jesus, really. You know,
so
if you think about it, you will be hated by the world.
I know.
He knew it, and he proclaimed it just to make sure that those who were under his tutelage and those who he tended to understood what they were getting into.
Yeah, and we need to know that this is the norm. It's okay. You know, we don't have to run to the other side knowing that we are not loved, right? And that we're not accepted. We're called to rise above that and to be a light in the world. So, amen.
Amen. Okay, so you know when he was martyred, 107 AD, and he's thrown into the lions in the Colosseum under Emperor Trajan, I think. Is that his name?
That sounds right,
Trajan?
Yes.
Trajan?
Yep.
And his martyrdom leaves a profound legacy on the Christian faith. Now, back then, it was just you versus a bunch of wild animals. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow.
I wonder if anyone
hadn't fed for a while.
They were hungry.
They were hungry.
Oh, my goodness.
They needed some Chick-fil-A, man. Christian chicken. That would have saved the day. Do you think anyone ever won those combats?
You know, there have actually been stories wherein saints who were, quite frankly, very hard to kill, you know, they would try and drown them and they would survive. They'd feed them to the lions and the lions would just ignore them. Mm-hmm. So there have been situations, but that's more of a miracle than anything else. I mean, it's not like anyone took on the lion,
okay,
and dropped a left hook on him and beat him. No, it's not that. But it's slightly different.
Oh, man. I took out Tony the Tiger. Who wants some? They're great.
On that note, Chuck, thank you so much.
It's always my pleasure, Allison and Josh and St. Ignatius of Antioch.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, it's time to be inspired because we are at that segment of the show where it's the fun segment, the inspirational segment. It's not officially titled, but it's just a little bit of a boost to help you find that extra joy in the journey. And we are reading from this book, 1001 Ways to Be Kind by Dallas Woodburn.
And I love this book. Great ideas on connecting and just ideas to help impact and bring joy to people's lives. So today we are going to talk about some of the ways that we can be kind as adults to children. So The first one, I know that you're excited to hear about this one, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And I am too, because I am guilty of this. So turn your phone off and put it away so you can give your full attention to play.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
Or even just your attention. I mean, how easy is it to get stuck on your phone, whether you're checking messages or doing valid things? It might not even be just scrolling through, you know, social media, but put the phone away so you can give them your undivided attention.
Yeah. You don't want to go into the doom scrolling.
No.
That's bad news. But you know what? Raise the stakes. Don't just put away your phone. Make your kids put away their phones.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That actually is true. One thing I want to bring up is that, you know, with the technology, you're able to work from home or work from basically anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And back when smartphones first came out, I mean, this was probably well over 10 years ago, I was able to work from home and I thought, you know what, I'm going to take my kids to the park. Well, here I am on my phone while my kids are at the park, But the thing is, because of this technology, I wouldn't have been able to be there with them in the first place. Mm. So But then I was wondering how many people are judging me, thinking, kind of a dad is he, you know, not paying attention to his kids or whatever, you know, put the phone away. But and then realize the whole scenario, you know.
Well, and were the kids aware that you were still working, but you have the luxury of taking them to the park? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's key. Now, if we go out and we're spending time with our children at an event or doing something fun, mm-hmm. and if we take the phone out and are scrolling or doing things like that, that is not showing the children the importance of their life and their presence. So that's what we need to work mm-hmm. on.
Absolutely.
I think we need to just go back to pay phones and pagers.
I miss those.
It's a better day, okay?
It was a better day.
That's when the phone book was more than a booster seat. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was a simpler
phone book?
I mean, it is interesting, though. I mean, praise God for the certain gifts that technology brings. I mean, even for me, when I'm visiting someplace remotely, I can find a local mass as a result of an app from in a different country. All right. So definitely has merit. But let's be real. At the same time, there was a relational authenticity back in the day before there were smartphones.
Oh, absolutely.
It was just more noticeable, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, totally, totally. Another way we can be kind to our kids or kids in general, say I'm so proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how often do we say things like that or kind words instead of stop doing that, behave, you know?
Right.
Put those things away. Do it now.
Well, and it's easy to get caught up in that as a parent.
Oh, it is.
To criticize, you know, to correct them constantly instead of praising when they do something good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the best ways to really have that mutual appreciation is tune into the Lord. And how do we do that? We can pray with our families, mm-hmm. with our children. As simple as, hey, saying a rosary. Why don't we just stop by adoration for 30 minutes before we go to this restaurant? Whatever those small steps are that we can try to unite ourselves and our children or our loved ones to the Eucharist or just to God through particular prayers or acts of service, I think is going to pay eternal dividends within the
Absolutely.
Household.
Absolutely.
And, you know, talking about that, Josh, because, I mean, mine are getting older, my children, but it's not always easy to get kids wanting to pray and to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So I found the key is rewording it, like explaining it and encouraging them why we're doing it. You know, a lot of times I'm like, we pray the rosary because we're reflecting on the life of Christ. So we shouldn't get discouraged if our kids are not like, yes, I want to pray right now. Let's do it now. Just persistence and explaining what we're doing and why we're doing it, right? Not just pray.
Well, and even at that age, you know, as teenagers or preteen, whatever, if they're complaining about, it's like, but the thing is, you're planting the seeds.
Planting the seeds
is
the key.
In the future, you know, who knows where that will pay off. And, you know, they're not always going to be teenagers and have the teenage attitude.
Correct.
And I've heard this. I remember being in a Bible study and somebody said, hey, those like first 13 years, especially of your children's lives, lean in because you only have their undivided attention for so long before the world starts to snatch it up. So, really, even if they don't like it, to spend that time in prayer or growing in their Catholic faith, because when the current of life tries to pull them in a different direction, they may drift, but they're going to drift less far.
Again, as parents, we have the greatest influence on our kids, you know, with Family Honor. They have different retreats and talks, you know, about our human sexuality and how God made us beautifully. And they had said the parents have the greatest influence on their kids. It's not social media. It's not Hollywood. So we need to truly take that to heart and know that we, even if our kids are not necessarily listening or if they're pushing back, we still have the greatest influence. We have got to know that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, can I wrap this segment up?
Wrap it up, yeah.
As far as be kind, I'll just wrap it up with rewind. Be kind, rewind.
Blockbuster video.
Those were the days.
We are so grateful to have Brenda Stoll with us today. She is a parishioner at St. Pius X in Conyers, Georgia. She is going to be informing us about Gwinnett County Schools' plan to change its sex education program. So if you live in Gwinnett County or you know someone that does live in Gwinnett County, make sure to listen to this important conversation we are going to have with her. Brenda is a retired registered nurse. She also was on the Sex Education Advisory Committee for Gwinnett County and formerly on the Committee of the State of Georgia for the Health Education Standards, which was approved in 2021. We are so grateful to have you here with us, Brenda. Welcome to the Quest.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, this is such an important topic. I mean, I live in Cherokee County. My kids, two out of my three kids go to public school in Cherokee County. So this is information that we all need to hear. So first question for you, Brenda, what is Gwinnett County Schools currently using as their sex education curriculum?
Okay, so currently they're using a program called Choosing the Best, and it's from sixth grade to ninth grade, and it strongly promotes abstinence until marriage. And it has done very, very well in Gwinnett County. Since it's been started using, we first started using it about 20 years ago. And it has updated through the years. But since it's been used, the pregnancy rate, the teen pregnancy rate in Gwinnett County has dropped by 75%.
Wow.
Wow.
It has among the lowest STD rates in Metro Atlanta and much of Georgia and all. So it's done very well. It's appropriate. It has appropriate messages for all the students. It respects parents as the first teachers of their children on this issue. They receive very accurate knowledge about condoms and contraception. They do learn about them, but they learn their failure rates. They learned the dangers of them. And in fact, when you compare them to other programs that promote condoms and contraception, those usually leave out the failure rates on both of them. So kids get actually much more complete knowledge of condoms and contraception than they would in other programs. And they help them to how to focus on healthy relationships and future goals, what is needed to achieve them. They use videos that are very engaging, and they appeal to a wide variety of students. And you can see that the students seem to take the information in this seriously, because you can tell by their lower pregnancy rates or lower STD rates.
Yes.
So clearly choosing the best has been very successful. And per our conversation and information you shared earlier, I hear it's at risk of being replaced. Is this true? And how can the other programs they're trying to offer instead negatively influence students?
Okay. So other programs that they're introducing, choosing the best is going to be considered along with five other vendors who have materials. Most of these other vendors are what we call comprehensive sex education, which means that they promote condoms and contraception to the students. They promote abstinence, but then the abstinence message is rather weakened, because they'll teach kids how to say no to sex, and then that message gets changed to how to say no to sex without a condom. So they teach the kids not only that it's okay to have sex as long as you use a condom and as long as you consent to sex, but they actually teach kids how to obtain condoms and contraception without parental knowledge, which kind of leads into children being able to lie to their parents. Mm-hmm. So then they also withhold, in many cases, they withhold those the failure rates of condoms. And this is something that kids have a right to know. Or they'll promote contraception, and then they will withhold sometimes the failure rates, but often they'll also withhold the dangers, particularly of hormonal contraception, which can be very dangerous for girls, and they do not give this information to them. They also have a lot of inappropriate material. If you look at, I put together a guide. If you look in the guide, you will see some of the very inappropriate things that they teach the kids, some things that are very sexually explicit, not age appropriate. And if parents knew what was being taught, they would be very upset.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow. So what can people of Gwinnett County do now to protect their children?
Okay, so right now, as part of the process, there is what is called an online public review, where from September 30th to October 31st, it's on the Gwinnett County public school website. There, they allow you to see all of the programs, and then they allow you to do a survey to let them know how you feel about all these programs and all. It is a very, I will say this, it is a very overwhelming process. It's a lot of material. In fact, it was so, I was trying to just make it flyer that showed, a little bit about all of the different programs. And it took me 4 days to go through all of
wow.
these. It's has like, there's like 28 different links. A lot of them have different usernames and passwords. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh my goodness, I've got to hurry up and get this out to people so that they can participate in this this online public review, and then the public review itself was overwhelming. So then I realized I think I need to make a guide for them to even do the public review. And so that is what I'm suggesting people do. If you don't have, you know, for me, it was a 7-day process. If you don't have 7 days to do this, but you do want to be able to participate in this, I have a guide that I tried to email out to a lot of the pastors in Gwinnett County. We're trying to get it to as many people as we can. The Baptist ministers have gotten copies of it. But anyway, with the guide, I had a friend of mine who was the life team director at my old parish. I said, could you be my guinea pig and choose a guide, use the guide to do the online public review and see how long it takes you to do it? And she calls me back later. She says, I was able to do it in 45 minutes.
Wow.
Instead of 7 days. And so she says it was really helpful. She says it seemed like a lot of material in the beginning, but as I started doing it, it's like it went really quickly. I felt like I learned a lot about all the different materials and why it is important to do this, this guide. Another friend of mine also did use the guide. She says I tend to be more meticulous. It took her a little over an hour. So I think if a person has an hour and they really want to protect the children, and I really want them to be able to have access to this guide. Like I said, we're trying to get it to a lot of the different life team directors, the pastors, so that they can share it with the people in their parishes. And really, life team directors, edge directors, and even the elementary school religious education really all need this because all of their kids are in the public school system.
So, Brenda, another question. How can people get their hands on the guide that you have created?
Okay, so if they can contact me through email, my email is B as in Brenda, J as in John, STOLL at comcast.net. BJ@comcast.net, and I will be happy to email them the guide.
And where on the Gwinnett County Public Schools website did you say that people need to go to complete this?
Well, actually, it's in the guide.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, the guide has the website right there. It's kind of one of the... Have you ever seen like those billboards that keep changing, you know?
Yes.
It was kind of like that on the website. I had to like, oh, wait, they just passed it. And now I had to wait for it to come up again, you know? So.
Hi.
So Brenda, one other thing that's interesting that you told me, a lot of people would think just intuitively based how progressive society is that parents would just be all aboard with some new updated program that might be, you know, aligned with just more progressive thinking. However, a lot of parents kicked back against the offerings from the Gwinnett County school system. Is that correct?
That is very correct. We had, like I said, 2 years ago, they tried to change it, and there over 500 people participated in the online public review at that time, and greater than 90% of them said they did not want it to be changed from Choosing the Best. They did not want a program that promoted condoms and contraception. And I think deep down, it's because parents, they worry about the health of their children, mm-hmm. and they know they love their children more than anyone. And they don't want their children to be hurt.
And so, with a decision like this as well, I mean, isn't it supposed to be the communal consensus versus a few people behind a curtain making the decisions?
Exactly. Part of the definition of sex education in Georgia is that it should reflect community values. And when you have that many people participating on their own, taking their time to participate in a public review, and greater than 90% of them say, no, I want my child to learn the abstinence message, then that tells you a lot about the community values.
So, Brenda, I'm on the Gwinnett County Public Schools website, and I see that it says the public review will be available until October 31st, 2024. So when will this decision be made? It seems like it would be super soon.
Well, actually, they've got a few more things coming up. Let's see. Let me look. There's going to be another committee meeting on November 7th. Then there's going to be another committee meeting on the sex ed advisory committee. It's going to be on November 20th. Then they're going to have sex ed teachers review committee, and that's in December. And then I'm not quite sure. I'm guessing the school board will probably be making a decision in December based on all of this. And they're supposed to take everything into consideration, including this public review, because in April of 2025, then whatever program are chosen will be piloted with the kids.
Thank you so much, Brenda, for blessing us and our Quest family today. I pray that all people in Gwinnett County take action and stand up for what's right, especially the future of our kids. Brenda, how can they reach out to you if they want to find out more?
Okay, they can email me at bjstoll, that's bjstoll at comcast.net.
Thank you so much, Brenda.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right, thank you so much for having us and for shedding a light on this important issue.
We are going to miss you. In fact, I think we already do miss you because we're in Alabama right now.
That's right. The show was pre-recorded.
Yes.
We're time traveling is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. No, we're at the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference in Birmingham right now. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we're going to have some things to play from, audio to play from that. Who knows what's going to happen, huh?
Yep.
So if you're listening, you can best bet at this moment, Father John Ricardo is asking for my autograph.
I'm sure of that.
Actually, I'm probably with him in confession, so.
Yeah, which I'm sure of that, too. So, we're going to have, you know, I think Dr. Ray's going to be there, like all the, you know, the pop checks. And
Deacon Harold Burke will be there as well.
I think that's a very good possibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, looking forward to it. We'll see if we can get some of those people on the air here.
And that'll be great. And plus, I think we'll be getting a few tricks from them on how to make this show the best it can be.
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to seeing you when we're back. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.